If you have your Bible this morning, or if you have a Bible app on something, if you will find James chapter 3. Going back after a couple of Easter messages, I'm going back to the book of James. We took a break, and now James chapter 3. Now, here's the question. When's the last time you heard a sermon on the tongue? Huh? How often? Well, listen, James has a sermon for you and me today on the tongue. It's easy to say sometimes the wrong thing at the wrong time, or the wrong thing at the right time, or the right thing at the wrong time. I don't know. But anyway, it's like this young man who worked in the grocery store in the produce section. And this little old lady came up to him one day and she said, "Sonny, I'd like to buy a half a head of lettuce." He said, "Oh my, be right back." So he goes to find the manager in the back of the store. Now, he don't know it, but this little lady has followed him back there. So she's standing right behind him. And he said to his manager, "This old bag out there, can you believe it? She wants to buy a half a head of lettuce." And the manager kind of tried to, you know, shift his eyes without really saying, "There, look behind you." So she looks, he sees her, and he says, "And this fine lady here wants to buy the other half." Oh, yeah. Listen, the book of James, very practical. He just lays it out and said, here it is. Here's what you should do and you shouldn't do. Almost every chapter in the book of James, he doesn't necessarily use the word tongue, but James talks about the tongue. It may be like say this or don't say that, but he references the tongue, the mouth. In fact, we saw this in James chapter 1 several weeks ago. In James chapter 1, verse 26, listen to what he says. "If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, but deceiving his heart, his religion is useless." So James thought taming the tongue was pretty important, don't you say? He did. There's something about the tongue. James says, if you can control your tongue, then you're a mature Christian, or you're maturing. Not perfect now, but you're maturing. Because listen, I got a feeling that everybody, or maybe I just need to talk about me, but everybody, we struggle with that old tongue sometimes. In fact, there's lots of things that people, doctors and nurses, can tell us by looking at the tongue, right? I had a Zoom call on a checkup a couple months ago, and I'm sitting there on the computer screen, and the nurse on the other end says, "Stick out your tongue." I'm thinking, now Mama told me not to do that. But what did I do? I stuck out my tongue. And I'm thinking, can she really see my tongue? You know, and evidently she was satisfied with it. So listen, the tongue reveals some things. It reveals some things that are inside us. Listen, physically, but also spiritually. Spiritually as well. So it's important that I watch what I say, that I tame my tongue. Why? Well, James gives us three reasons. In addition to those three reasons, and you should have these on your outline, three reasons, and he gives us six illustrations. So watch this. In James chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. "Now, not many should become teachers, my brothers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment." Now, teachers, watch out. It's talking to us. "For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says," here it is, "he is a mature man who is also able to control his whole body." Verse 3, "Now, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we also guide that whole animal. And consider the ships, though very large and driven by fierce winds, they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of that pilot directs. So too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Consider how large a forest a small fire ignites, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among the parts of our bodies. It pollutes the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and set on fire by hell. Verse 7, for every creature, animal, or bird, reptile, or fish is tamed and has been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things should not be this way. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a saltwater spring yield fresh water. Why is it important that I tame my tongue? Number one, on your outline should say, it can direct where I go in life. It can direct where I go in life. Listen to me. Think about your conversations this past week. What have you talked about the most? What has your conversation been like? James says, that tongue, small relatively, but it's powerful. That tongue is small, it's tiny. We think sometimes insignificant, and yet it has tremendous power. Notice the illustration, the first one that he gave was the bit in the horse's mouth. Now think about that. Suppose you got that big old stallion, I don't know what they weigh, 2,000-3,000 pounds, something like that, and you got a jockey riding that thing that might weigh 100 pounds. How does he control that horse? By that little piece of metal in his mouth, in the horse's mouth. Strategically placed so that that lightweight jockey can control and direct that big old animal. Listen, did you know that your words, your tongue, the words that you speak, the conversations that you have with others, but also the conversations that you have with yourself can really influence your life and the direction of your life. He says, next of all, consider a ship. Think about a big old ship and that relatively small rudder controls the direction that that pilot of that ship wants to take it. And that little rudder keeps that large boat, that ship, if you will, on course. Listen, our tongue is like the rudder that steers. It can influence our life. It can direct where we go. For example, what do you say to yourself? And you may not say the words aloud verbally, but what kind of words are you saying to yourself? What are you telling yourself? Is it positive? Is it negative? Oh, shoot, I guess I'll just always be sick and feel this bad. Or whatever it may be, whatever comes to our mind. And sometimes we do the negative talk, self-talk, to ourselves. Listen, and when we do, if we're not careful, we set ourselves up for failure. Because pretty soon, before we know it, we're believing what we say. We're believing the words that we think or the words that we verbally say. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to buy into that. And so we need to be careful that we don't set ourselves up for failure, for going in the wrong direction. So think about it. Think about your conversation. Does that mean then that I just don't need to talk? I'll just be silent. No, no, no. Truth is, we're going to talk anyway, right? We may say, well, I'll just be silent. No, we're going to talk. But see, here's the thing. What are we going to say? There was a guy who joined the monastery one time and wanted to spend some time there in his study. And they could only say two words at the end of every year to the chief of the monastery. So he appeared, first of all, and he said, okay, what do you got to say? He said, bed hard. Another year passed, brought the young man in, said, what two words would you like to say? He said, cold food. The end of that period, he brought him in again. He said, what would you like to say? He said, I quit. And so the head priest says, well, that doesn't surprise me. All you've done since you've been here is complain. No, not silence, but it's being careful what we say. It's keeping that tongue in check. Number two, here's the reason we need to tame the tongue and keep it in check, because my tongue can destroy what I have. Think about it. Your tongue can destroy what we have. James uses the illustration of a forest. Beautiful forest, all those beautiful trees. Hey, listen, we're somewhat familiar with that, right? I mean, when you look at River Ranch Acres and Indian Lake Estates out that way, and we saw just a little while back what a little spark. I don't know what caused it. Takes a little spark, only a little spark to get a fire going. By the way, we used to sing that little song, didn't we? Only takes a spark to get a fire going. I won't sing it to you. It's okay. But think about it. From a single match, it could happen. From a careless camper, and an entire forest can be destroyed in just a short while. Listen, a careless word or some careless words can also, listen, I've seen it destroy marriages. I've seen that happen with careers, reputations, a friendship, a church. Possibly could be destroyed by words. That's why it's important. So James says it's like a fire. It's like being a verbal arsonist. You know what a verbal arsonist is, right? That's a person who burns people by what they say. You remember the little saying we used to do when we were kids? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will what? Never hurt me. How untrue that is, right? Because sometimes words hurt. Words cut. And they hurt. And they can destroy. So back to the illustration James used of the fire. Fire sometimes can be very beneficial, right? Can be very helpful. I mean, on those cold days, we like a little warmth. And so forth. Can give off light. But listen, out of control, that fire is devastating and has the potential to devastate. So it is when it comes to people and places, if we're not careful. In verse 6, James says, it sets the course of life on fire. In other words, what I hear there is, it's a chain reaction. A chain reaction. And you know, I mean, this wouldn't apply to anybody in here, but some people we know would maybe come home and they're tired and they're grumpy and they're cranky, right? I mean, some other people we know, other people. And so it's like the husband comes home and has some not kind words, harsh words for the wife. And the wife takes it out on the oldest child, or it could be youngest, one of the children. And the oldest kid goes and takes that out on the dog and kicks the dog. And the dog goes and bites the cat. And the cat comes in and bites Barbie's head off. Chain reaction. Now, wouldn't it have just been easier for the husband to go bite the doll's head off? James says it's important that we learn to tame the tongue, because it can destroy some things. Notice the other illustration that he uses there. He talks about animals in verses 7 and 8. He said, "For every creature, animal, or bird, reptile, or fish is tamed and has been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue." So, in other words, I think about when it comes to wild animals, I'm still just a little bit leery sometimes. Those that we say they're tamed, they're still at heart a wild animal. So man can tame them. You know, I think of the zoo and different places that we go and we see animals, and even on America's Funniest Home Videos, you ever seen those cars with the families driving through whatever attraction it is, with the windows down, and they got their food. And it's so nice, they're going to feed that little whatever it is, giraffe or horse. And what happens? He just makes himself at home and takes over, right? He sticks that long neck through the window, and all of a sudden, it's all gone. See, so you can tame it, but there's a limit. And those, sometimes, I think about those animals that are wild animals that are tamed, and they look so peaceful and could rip your head off in a real minute. See, James says, need to be careful. Oh, we can tame the animals. We can tame them. But at the same time, notice what he says. No man can tame the tongue there in verse 8. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. In the Greek, what it literally means is snake venom. Cautious. Be careful. The tongue could be a deadly weapon in a lot of different ways. And then number 3. On your outline, it should say something like this: my tongue really displays who I am. It kind of reveals the character. It reveals what's inside. Look what he said in verse 9, that verse that we read. He said, "With it, with the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, Heavenly Father, and with it we curse men who are made in God's likeness." So in other words, what he says is this: we may come to church even and use our tongue to sing praises to God. And on the way home, we may get in an argument about where we're or what we're going to eat for lunch. Now, again, nobody in here. That's just people that we know. So what's James saying? He's saying the tongue is inconsistent. It's inconsistent with the tongue. One minute we may be praising the Lord, which we ought to do, but in the same instance, listen how quickly things can change, and we're cursing other people. Now, the thought here is this: it's not necessarily talking about profanity, But what he's saying is this: we put other people down by our criticism sometimes. We may have just come from church worship service. And sometimes that criticism will eke out. And listen, and there's this thing called gossip. Don't be a part of it. If anybody comes to you with gossip, you just say, I don't want to hear it. Don't be a part of it. And especially if they don't have a solution, you know, don't be criticizing anybody else. So James says that's the way it is with the tongue. We're inconsistent. One minute we're doing this, we're saying something good or doing something good. Next minute we may be... So we need to be careful. That's what James says. And listen, and James says we all do it from time to time. I don't know if anybody, he said no man can tame the tongue. Now, more about that in just a minute. He didn't say the tongue can't be tamed. He just says you can't do it by yourself. And if you can tame your tongue by yourself, you come talk to me. I want to know your secret so that I can start using it. So James says that tongue, sometimes it's a problem. Amen? But here's the thing. We have to consider the source. Consider the source. Now, what is the source? The problem is not really, when you think about this, it's not really my tongue. The problem is the heart. The problem is not so much the tongue. It's the heart. Because our tongue reveals what's inside us. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard this excuse before or not. And I've heard it bunches of times. Well, I just don't know what got into me. I mean, I'm really not usually like that. That's just out of character for me. And James would say, yes, you are like that. James would say, yes, you are. And so we have to be careful. Listen, it reveals our character. It reveals who we are. A person with a harsh tongue has an angry heart. You can count on it. A person with a negative tongue has a fearful heart. A person with an overactive tongue, you know what that means? Talks too much. They have an unsettled heart, insecurity. A boasting tongue, insecure heart, filthy tongue, an impure heart, one who's critical, bitter heart. You can write it down. On the other hand, when you see somebody that's encouraging, that person has usually a happy heart. A person who speaks gently most of the time has that loving heart. Person who speaks truth and truthfully, that person has an honest heart. Now, so we all sometimes have a problem taming the tongue. What's the solution? What do we do? Well, notice on your outline, number one, get a new what? First and foremost, get a new heart. Listen, Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31. That's that Old Testament book way back there. It got dust on it, you know, Ezekiel. Dust it off. Ezekiel 18, 31. rid yourself of all the offenses you've committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. So you see, what we really need is we need a new life. We need a fresh start. So I'm talking to the unbeliever, if there should be somebody who has not made their peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted Him, they're not a believer, then that's where it has to start. We call it getting saved, born again, whatever term you want to plug in there. But what it means is past is forgiven. And we don't live in the past anymore. We are a new creation in Christ. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new person. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when we trust Christ as Savior, we get a new heart. We get a new life. We get to start over. Aren't you glad? So we don't have to camp in our past where we say, you know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That, as far as I can tell, that includes all of us. So we, when we trust Christ as Savior, we have that new heart. We have a new life in Christ. But then, even after we trust Christ, even after we are a believer, listen, David prayed this prayer in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, because what is in my heart is going to come out of my mouth. But it has to start with a new heart. Hey, when you trust Christ as Savior, you get a new heart. New life. New beginning. Number two, ask God every day for help. In other words, that one verse we read, it said, no man can tame the tongue. It didn't say without God you can't do it. What it says is this, you can't do it on your own because we don't have within ourselves what it takes. Therefore, we need supernatural power and that Holy Spirit, God, the Spirit that indwells you when you trust Christ as Savior. That's where our strength and our power comes from to live that life that we want to live. Can't do it on your own. Listen to this verse in Psalm 141:3. Here's what the psalmist said. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Isn't that great? Set a guard. God, set a guard. That's a great verse to remember. You know what David's saying? God, put a muzzle on my mouth. Just put a muzzle on me. Guard my lips. Lord, today, don't let me be critical. Don't let me be judgmental. Don't let me say things off the cuff that I'm going to regret later. God, help me. And so we ask God. And by the way, one of the ways that you get God's help is you get in this book here. See? You get in the Word, and you read the Word, and you study the Word. And so that's important. That's a way that we ask God for help is when we're in His Word. Because listen, remember what we say. I've said this is a whole different message, but we allude to it from time to time. Where's the battle? In the mind. That's why it's important, because what goes into your heart, what goes into your mind comes out in your mouth. And so we fill our mind, listen, with the Word of God. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. See, remember, your mind's like a computer. What are you putting into it? That's what you're going to get out. So we ask God to help us. And then number three, and this is a hard one. Says what? Think before you put the mind in gear. before you engage the mouth. James chapter 1, verse 19. See what he said? Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Listen, if you're quick to listen, you'll be slow to speak. And if you're slow to speak, then you will more likely be slow to get angry. So what's the result? I'll be slow to get angry when I think about it, when I stop and think about something before I say it. Now, that's hard. I know. That's a tall order. But bottom line, the way to have your tongue tamed in control is to let Jesus have control of your heart. See? And that's big. Because what's in the well, and this is a principle, what's in the well is going to come out in the bucket. All right? I remember going to Grandma and Grandpa's house when I was a little boy. And one of my favorite things, Eddie, was to draw water from the well. Man, that was a treat. And sometimes trash would come up. Well, where did the trash come from? Somewhere in that well. So I'd have to pour it out and get another bucket full. What comes out is in the well. What's in your well today? What's in your well? We need to be careful. And then I want to say this, and this is free, no charge for this. There's this thing called forgiveness. It could be just maybe that there's somebody, because we haven't done a good job on occasion with that tongue, there could be somebody that we need to go to and ask forgiveness. Because until you do that, there's going to be a cloud or two hanging. Would you bow with me? Father, thank you for James, who shares with us, especially the tongue. Help us to tame it. Lord, I pray, should there be somebody here this morning that does not know Jesus as Savior, I pray this might be the day they just, by a simple prayer, Lord, just something similar. Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And I ask you now to forgive me of my sins. I realize Jesus died on the cross to pay my sin debt. I'm asking you now to come in my life. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my Lord. Now, if you prayed something, that those words are something similar, you were serious with God, He's serious with you. Maybe that everybody in this building this morning is a believer in Christ. I don't know. You know that. God knows that. Maybe you need to ask God to help you. In fact, I'll just go so far as to say we all need help with our tongue. Everybody. All of us. Lord, help us to use the tongue to help us be set in the right direction, to steer our life. Lord, we ask you to help us to be careful of our words. We ask you, Lord, to guard our mouth, guard our life. Create within us that clean heart, oh God, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please, if God has spoken to you? If you need to make some kind of a decision, would you come? Somebody will pray with you. They'll help you. Maybe you're here and you just want to come and pray. Whatever God says to you, would you do it as we sing?